all-time favorites, Amos and Andy. Today, the kingfish had a hard day at the pool hall, and as he returns home, he finds his wife, Sapphire, all excited. She's just received a letter from her sister in Georgia.
Well, hello there, Sapphire.
Oh, come in, George. I got some wonderful news from back home in Georgia.
No.
Yeah, my younger sister and sister is going to get married.
Oh, so your mama finally unloaded the last one, huh?
What do you mean, George? Mama never had no trouble getting us girls married. Why, back home, we was the belles of the town.
Yeah, I remember that, honey. And when you got married, they called it the miracle of the bells, yeah.
Well, anyway, George, I ain't going to miss my sister's wedding. Me and you is going down to Georgia for 2 weeks. It'll be a wonderful vacation for us.
What you mean? I can't take no vacation. I got to stay here for business reasons.
Business reasons?
Yeah, who going to pick up my unemployment check? They don't mail them things to you, you know. You got to go have them.
Look, George, me and you is going to Georgia for my sister's wedding. The round-trip tickets is about $100, and it's up to the provider of this family to raise the money.
Well, it's all right with me, honey, but do you think you can get a job on such short notice?
George, this is your responsibility. The wedding is 1 week from today. We is going, and you has got to get that $100 for the railroad tickets, and I mean it.
That old gal is getting more unreasonable by the minute. Next thing I know, she's going to ask me to start supporting her. So that's the story, Henry. Sapphire just laid down the law to me about getting $100 to take this trip to Georgia.
Well, a trip south at this special time would be delightful because the weather here has simply been abdominal.
Seems like my wife is always making trouble for me one way or the other.
Well, it's just like I've always said, Kingfish. Marriage would be a wonderful institution if a woman wasn't mixed up in the thing.
Me go to Georgia to see Sapphire's sister get married.
Yes, I don't blame you. My wife dragged me to a big society wedding last week. The social Mrs. Angela Smythe of New York and Miami Beach got herself hitched up to Mr. Fats Wilson of the Department of Sanitation.
More good, huh?
Yes, after the wedding, we all went up to the bride's home for a very formal receptacle.
Damn it is. Did they have a nice wedding?
Yes, but they ran into a little difficulty. Due to the recent snows here in New York, there was no roses in bloom at the time of the ceremony. And you know what these society functions. It's customary for the flower girls to scatter rose petals down the aisle at the very head of the nuptials procession.
Oh, yeah. Well, without roses, what did they do?
Well, they got the effect of the rose petals by painting some potato chips red.
Yeah, and the flower gal scattered the potato chip to head of the procession, huh?
Yes, it was quite a thing to hear the bride and groom come crunching down the aisle.
Them potato chips must have made quite a mess.
It was messy, but the groom picked up the debris the following day when he made his rounds on the sanitation truck.
Yeah. Well, I sure gonna have a tough time raising $100 between now and next Tuesday. I wonder if I could inveigle $100 out of Andy.
It would have to be a very clever viggle. Because Andy told me that he was going to take the money he's got and buy himself an automobile.
More, the boy going to get himself a new car, huh?
Yes, and the only thing that's holding it up is that the dealer can't promise him delivery for 4 or 5 months.
Oh, yeah, that new car situation's still tough, all right.
It sure is. I heard that the only cars that you can get quick delivery on is the foreign makes.
You say that you hear that the quick deliveries is the foreign make car?
That's right. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Andy buy one of those, neither.
Well, now, foreign make cars, wait a minute, Henry. I just got a flicker of light.
A flicker of light?
If I play with my cars right, I might be able to flick Andy out of $100 and light right in Georgia. Well, I got this picture of this foreign car to the color of Old Life magazine. Yeah, that's a foreign car, right? Now, if I can just convince Andy... Uh-oh, here he come down the hall. Let me get on the telephone.
Hello there, Kingfish.
Excuse me a minute, Ed. Just making a transatlantic telephone call.
Why are you calling transatlantic?
Oh, why? Because I was the agent for the new French foreign automobile, and I want to talk to the manufacturer. Wait a minute. Hello, operator? Is this the French operator? Give me a crepe Suzette 4937.
Foreign make car, huh? Do this company know how to make them?
Do they know how to make them? Why, this man that I was calling in France is one of the greatest automobile men in the world. Wait a minute. Hello, France? Let me talk to Madman Pierre.
I think I hear him somewhere.
Hello? Hello, Madman? This is George Stevens, New York office. Oui. Bonus notches to you, too. Yeah, I just received a picture of your new car. Congratulations. Merci. Beaucoup coupé. Ooh la la. Well, remember me to the little mad woman. And say hello to Miss Eiffel Tower. Okay, madman. Bon voyage.
Say, Kingfish, where did you meet a big Frenchman like that?
Oh, I knew him for years, Andy, during the First World War, where me and him was mademoiselles together in the French Foreign Legion. You see, Andy, I've known him ever since then.
Yeah.
Now, right this minute, I is the American distributor for the new French automobile. Now, you are now standing in the showroom of the Paris Motor Company, Harlem branch.
No fooling. What is the name of the car you saw?
The name of the car, it's known in the trade as the quick delivery Mercedes-Benz $100 deposit straight eight. That's what they call it.
You know, there's a funny thing. I've been trying to get a car myself. What does the car look like?
Well, now, I just happen to have a picture of it that was sent by wire from Paris just yesterday. Where is it? Oh, here it is, right here. Hey, here's now, look that over.
Yeah. Say, Kingfish, that's a good-looking automobile, all right.
Oh, that's pretty. Look at them lines.
Hey, wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. They done stuck the steering wheel on the wrong side of the car.
Oh, no. That's why they call it a Mercedes-Benz. Before they send it over here, it bends the steering wheel over that side. You see what I mean?
I see. Well, I like American cars, though.
Well, now, don't forget, Andy, foreign cars is more economical to run.
They is? Why is that?
Because, Andy, over there, they all runs on kilometers.
Yeah? Well, does them kilometers wear out as quick as tires?
Oh, no, Andy. Kilometers is distance. Over there, we measure distance in miles. Kilometers are shorter than miles, so there you is. When you drive in France, you ain't got so far to go. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that do cut down the distance. Look here, Kingfish. If I ordered one of them French cars, when could I get it?
Well, now, let me do a little figuring here. We place this order today by radar. The thing has got to be custom made, and then they got to crate it up, ship the car from France to the United States. Let me see, 4,000 miles, 2,000 miles, goes into customs. How about Thursday of this week?
Tell me this, how can they make cars faster there than we can here in America?
Because they were smart and they have done solved the steel problem.
Well, how'd they do that?
They got steel from us.
Well, how much did this French car sell for?
Well, now, you give me a $100 deposit and the grand total's up to $1,600 FOB. That means francs on the barrel here.
Well, now, wait a minute. I ain't letting you have no money till I seize the car. And, boy, that is different.
Oh, now, listen, Andy. You be in the car driving up Lenox Avenue, all them gals about 21 years old sitting over there on the street looking at you. You got a new car. They got the new look. And you sort of glance over at him and smile at some pretty gal and say,
get on board, little children.
Get on board, little children. There's room for many a more.
Well, I hear the horn a-blowing. I hear it near at hand. I hear the car wheels rumbling and rolling through the land. Now get on board. Just get on board. Now get on board. Let's go for me.
Let's go for me. I hear the car coming. She's coming round the curve. I hear the wheels rumbling. She's spinning every nerve.
She's spinning every nerve.
Get on board, little children. Get on board.
Get on board, now get on board,
little children, let's go for many more.
Rolling and rocking.
rocking with our engine just a knocking, just a smoking and a chugging down that long, long road.
Yeah.
We're rolling and a rocking with our engine just a knocking, and we're happy because we're lighting our heavy load.
Nothing worries me. I'm happy as I can be. Me and two or three in my Model T.
Kill four little children. Kill four little children. Kill four little children. There's room for many more.
Now get on board. Let's get on board. Now get on board.
Oh, little children. There's room for many more.
Shorty's barbershop here and see if we know where I can get a new car. Oh, hello there, Shorty.
Well, I'll be doggone. I didn't. What's cooking? You get. Hi, Kingfish.
Shorty, maybe you can help me here. I've got to get a foreign car in a hurry.
Oh, they is classy looking, all right. I had a roadster once, and I wanted to make it look like a foreign car, so I had the steering wheel put over on the right-hand side.
Oh, move the steering wheel, huh?
Oh, but when I come down the street, everybody looked at me because I was driving at a slant.
Well, why was you driving at a slant?
Because the brake and the clutch was still over on the left.
Look, Shorty, I'm going to tell you the whole situation. I need $100 for me and my wife to get a railroad ticket to Georgia. And I can get the $100 from Andy if I can just show him a foreign car.
Say, wait a minute, Kingfish. I got it. A friend of mine has got a car that he let you have. He built it himself. It could pass for a foreign car, too. It's in great shape, except for one little thing.
Well, what's that?
Well, you see, the car, it ain't got... That it, you got no motor.
No motor.
No, you see, after the fella built it, he couldn't find a motor for it. And right now, it's sitting in his garage. He'll give it to you if you just tow it away.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get that and I'll put it over to Lloyd's Hall, and I'll find something with a French name on it and put it on the front of the radiator.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, Kingfish, I gotta leave now.
Where are you going, Shorty?
I gotta go over to the hospital and see a fella. His face is all slashed and cut up.
How'd his face get all slashed and cut up?
Well, you see, he was hit by he fell down a big a truck skidded in. He was walking. The thing busted. I shaved him.
Come on into the office, Andy. I got some great news for you.
Yeah, what is the news from France?
What a lucky fellow you is.
Yeah,
I just talked to Madman Pierre again, and he told me that he was going to let you have a 1949 model, and it arrived this morning.
Oh, that's great. Where is it?
Oh, in the showroom, right out here in the large hall. Come on, follow me here.
Oh, boy, I was crazy to see this new car.
Yeah, right through this door here, Andy. Now, right over there. Ah, there she sits, Andy, between them two ferns. Pretty, ain't it? The fence certainly is years ahead of us on design, ain't there? Notice the underslung body?
Yeah. I wonder who slung that together.
Oh, and look at that paint job there. Wonderful paint job. That's baked enamel finish. Baked right on there.
Looks a little overdone in spots to me. Look, this is a genuine French car.
Oh, certainly it's genuine. Come up here and look at the nameplate on the front of it there.
Yeah.
The nameplate is made out of paper to cut down the wind resistance. Here it is. See, you say here, made in France. And the name of the car is Sparkling Burgundy. Oh, wonderful.
Hey, wait a minute. Look here. It's a vintage of 1934. What does that vintage mean?
French word means convertible. Oh, it's wonderful thing.
And a 1934. Is this a 1934 model?
Oh, don't be silly, Andy.
Well, what does the 1934 stand for?
Horsepower.
Oh, now, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. How can they get 1934 horsepower in that little car?
They use smaller horses. That's all it is. Now, step right over here and look at the inside of it. Look through the window there. Look at that upholstery. Genuine leather-red oilcloth. Oh, you slide in and out there. Blue serge suit go right through there, mile a minute.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to get used to this foreign stuff. Let me see the motor, Kingfish.
You want to see the motor, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, that's what I'm going to explain to you. Under the motor is sealed under the hood to keep it dust free. Sealed in oil, another one of them things, yeah. And knowing that you would be just the one that would want to start tampering with the motor, I done had a padlock welded on there so you can't get in there and get in trouble, and I done throw the keys away.
Well, tell me this, Kingfish, how do you get to the motor in case something go wrong?
Through the exhaust pipe, that's how you get it.
That is a little unhandy, ain't it? Look here, suppose something go wrong with that motor. Now, how can I get it fixed?
Very simple, Andy. All you got to do is to find a mechanic with a long, thin arm. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, well, maybe I ought to take it.
Oh, yeah, you ought to take it and take it right away.
Okay, here you is, Kingfish. Here's the $100 down payment. I'll buy it.
Right, the deal is closed.
Now, I'm going to take it out for a little spin right now.
I hate to tell you this, Andy, but you're going to have to hold off a little on your spinning. You see, being a French car, this car don't run on gasoline. It runs on petrol. And there ain't a drop of petrol in this country at the moment.
Well, why couldn't I use gas instead?
Now, I'm going to explain that to you, too, Andy. You see, the American gasoline has got a thing in it called octane. Now, these foreign cars has got a narrow gas line. The octane just won't go through it. That's the whole trouble.
Clog it up, huh?
Yeah, clog it right up every time. But I spec in the shipment of petrol, and that's when you'll be the first one on the list there.
When is that coming in?
Well, now, I was leaving for Georgia with my wife for a couple of weeks, and the petrol ought to get here just about the time I get back.
Yeah, well, I guess I got to wait till then.
Yeah, well, I got to run along now, and there, au revoir, adios, bulls, bitches, and all that stuff. See you later.
Yeah, so long, King. Let me take a good look at my car here. Believe I'll open the door and get in there and sit down. Well, that door ain't going to open. I guess when Pierre tried to get in one of these cars, that's when he started calling himself Madman.
Well, hello there, Andy. What you doing here?
Come over here, Amos. I want you to see my new car.
Oh, look at this is yours, huh?
Sure is.
You must be going in the Soapbox Derby.
Wait a minute. This is the latest French automobile. The mechanic with a long arm is sealed under the hood.
What is that again, Andy?
It's got a leatherette motor with small horses in it, too.
I just see the Kingfish leave here. Did he sell you that thing?
Well, I give him $100 down payment. He's going to get me some petrol, too.
Tell me this. Who stuck that label on the front of it from a bottle of sparkling burgundy?
I think the madman done it.
This car ain't no good, Andy. Look at that. That Kingfish has done stuck you again. Look at that. You ain't even got no windshield. All you got is the frame there.
I thought that glass was awful clean.
Well, you better get your money back, son.
Yeah, just wait till I get my hands on that Kingfish. And if I ever get to France where they make these cars, there are going to be two madmen over there. I'll tell you that.
I sure put one over on the end with that foreign car business. Now, I better lock up my office here and lay low till tomorrow when I get on the train for Georgia. Then I'll be safe. Hello, Andy. I'm just leaving.
Well, you ain't leaving. Back up. I said back up.
Well, I'll be backing. You don't have to be so rough about it.
I want to have a showdown with you about that automobile you showed me.
Oh, by the way, I just had a nice talk with Madman Pierre again. The petrol is on its way over here.
Kingfish, I'm going to punch you right in the nose. You took my $100 just so you and your wife could take a trip to Georgia. I want my money back, or I'm going to beat you like you ain't never been beat before.
Strike me if you must. Remember, I as an official, a French automobile dealer which comes under the jurisdiction of the French government. And if you strike me, it will be the Pearl Harbor of 1948.
Wait a minute. What's Pearl Harbor got to do with me busting you in the face?
Andy, you was forgetting that I was a French car dealer. And in that capacity, I ain't no longer George Stevens the Kingfish. I is a symbol of France.
All right, Symbol, put up your dukes.
Oh, wait a minute, sir. Remember, my innocent friend, hitting me is just like slugging Joan of Arc. Oh, you know it, 30 million Frenchmen go swarm all over you.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Go ahead, be ignorant. Even though us Frenchmen give you the Statue of Liberty you got in your harbor here, you know what that means, that America and France will be at war if you hit me, and the Brown will go down in history as a war mongrel.
Wait a minute now, Kingfish. Just hold everything here, will you? Don't try to tell me that a measly $100 is going to start a war.
Well, they're starting for less than that. Look at history. How do you think the War of 1812 started? Over $18.12.
I know.
Hey, but look at history again. The Franco-American War started over a can of spaghetti. Oh, I'm telling you.
Well, listen here. How can I get my money back without starting a war?
Well, it's unfair to me, but the only thing to do is to arbitrate.
What is that?
Well, you got to find a third person that's disinterred. And he holds court and decides who is right.
Well, that suits me, because anybody will know that I is right.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll pick out our lawyer, Stonewall. I'll meet you at Stonewall. You be over there in 30 minutes, and we'll let him be the judge of arbitration.
Okay, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
All right. Now, Stonewall, Andy gonna be here in your office any minute. Now, I done give you all the facts of the deal so you can arbitrate the thing honestly.
Well, now, Kingfish, from what you done told me, I'm afraid that your case won't hold water.
Well, will a $5 bill plug up the leak?
Oh, not only plug it up, it'll waterproof it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, now, here's the $5.
Thank you. I just put this in my pocket.
Yeah.
Come in, Andy.
Well, hello, Stonewall.
Well, I just second walked in myself, Andy. I ain't had time to say hello to Stonewall. Hello, Stonewall.
And if it ain't the Kingfish. Hiya, Kingfish.
How you doing? Glad to see you. Stonewall, we want you to arbitrate a case between me and Andy.
Let me get behind my arbitration desk here.
Yeah, get up there. Sit up there high so you do this thing.
Okay, now. The call of arbitration is now in session. Hereafter, in the legal terms of the arbitrator, we shall refer to the Kingfish as the Arby, and to you, Andy, as the traitor.
Just call him Benedict Arnold. Go ahead.
Now, before we begin, I want you to understand that this court is going to be absolutely fair, strictly impartial, and completely unbiased. Now, Kingfish, you talk first, see, because you're going to give the true side of the case.
Thank you. Well, Your Honor, Andy here ordered a foreign car from me, and I had the thing shipped all the way from France.
Yeah. Keep talking, Kingfish.
Well, Your Honor, then when I delivered the car to him in good condition, he gave me a measly $100 down payment, and now he wants his money back and wants to back out the deal.
Yeah. Keep talking.
Stonewall, here's my side of the case.
Quiet, Flabbermouth.
Now, wait a minute here. Wait a minute, Stonewall. Don't you want to hear my story?
Well, I tell you, Andy, you see, in my career as an arbitrator, I have found that it's too confusing to listen to more than one side.
I don't like the way things are going.
Well, you can't argue with the scale of justice.
Well, I don't care about that. I'm going to win this case even if I got to pay a lawyer $10 to do it.
$10? There'll be a slight recess while I rebalance the scale of justice.
Now, wait a minute. I'll pay you $15 to a good lawyer, if you know what I mean.
$15? Can I add 20?
Wait a minute, Joe. Look, someone, let's quit this stuff here and get back to deciding the case fair and honest like you agreed to do for me.
Well, after taking all the evidence presented and weighing it on the scale of justice, it looked to me like the scale is tipping in favor of the Kingfish.
There you is, Andy. There's nothing left for you to do but to wait for the petrol to come from France and keep your big mouth shut and go on about your business.
So, all you mean to say that the scale say that the Kingfish done won?
My final verdict is that the Kingfish ain't got to give you back the $100 that he cheated you out of.
Well, Well, Sapphire, honey, I've been down to the office all day, straightening up my business affairs. I'm now ready to get on a train for Georgia. Is you all packed?
Oh, yes, George. But I've decided on a much cheaper way of going to Georgia.
Oh, that's great. We can save money. How's it going?
We're going by motor. I bought a car this afternoon, but we can't leave for a few days until the petrol gets here from France.
Good night, folks.
See you next Tuesday.